Imagine waking up at 6 a.m. to your phone buzzing with work emails, your child crying in the next room, and your mental to-do list already scrolling like endless movie credits. This is the overwhelm that Bridget Schulte brilliantly captures in her groundbreaking work. We're living in an age of what she calls time confetti, our days shattered into tiny, unsatisfying shards that never add up to meaningful time. Unlike previous generations with clearer boundaries between work and home, today we navigate constant mental pollution, with thoughts of unfinished tasks contaminating potentially restorative moments. When time use researcher John Robinson claimed modern Americans have about 30 hours of leisure weekly, Schulte was incredulous. Her life felt like perpetual breathless rushing. To test his theory, she kept meticulous time diaries, discovering a profound disconnect between how time is measured by researchers and how it's experienced by actual humans. Robinson counted activities like reading a newspaper as leisure, while Schulte experienced them as obligations. Even moments with her children were contaminated by mental checklists of undone tasks. This contaminated time, when your body is present but your mind is elsewhere, characterizes modern life, especially for working parents. Why do we wear exhaustion like a badge of honor? Communication professor Anne Burnett found that over 5 decades of holiday letters, busyness evolved from burden into status symbol, with language shifting from simple updates to competitive highlighting of packed schedules. I'm busier. I win. Conversations have become commonplace. Being busy signals importance. If you're in demand, you must be valuable. This creates what Burnett calls the non-choice choice, where people claim busyness is their preference while feeling overwhelmed. Our conformity urge is powerful. Gregory Burns' brain scan research showed that when subjects faced group disagreement, their amygdala activated at levels similar to physical threats, actually altering their perceptions. Sociologist Edson Rodriguez notes, "As a culture, we have translated speed into being a virtue. This mentality creates a cycle where people maintain hectic schedules to prove their worth, deliberately displaying busyness through visible markers like back-to-back meetings and late-night emails, making breaks feel like career suicide." Chronic overwhelm physically alters our brains. Under persistent stress, our prefrontal cortex, responsible for planning, decision-making, and impulse control, actually shrinks in volume. Brain scans reveal an overactive amygdala alongside a diminished prefrontal cortex during sustained stress, impairing clear thinking and emotional regulation. Stanford research shows this reduction can reach 20% in certain areas. Our stress response evolved for survival, with the hypothalamus triggering hormone release from adrenal glands. While effective for occasional dangers, continuous activation creates allostatic overload, where these adaptive systems begin causing damage. Our information-saturated environment worsens this strain. Americans process 34 gigabytes of data daily across 12 hours of media consumption. Information workers switch tasks every 3 minutes, creating a cognitive deficit that accumulates throughout the day. Even Fortune 500 CEOs average only 28 uninterrupted minutes daily, perpetuating these neurological changes. Workplace culture still enforces the ideal worker norm, a standard based on traditional male patterns despite significant demographic changes. This ideal worker has no family obligations, remains completely devoted to work, and is perpetually available. Though women now comprise half the workforce, this outdated norm persists. Research reveals caregiver bias, where mothers face perception as less competent, suffering discrimination, and significant wage penalties. While childless women earn 94 cents to a childless man's dollar, mothers earn only 60 cents to a father's dollar. The flexibility stigma punishes those who challenge this norm, with men often facing harsher consequences. Corporate lawyer Ariel Ayana was fired after taking parental leave despite excellent evaluations, and studies confirm men requesting caregiving accommodations are viewed as less ambitious. Ironically, the ideal worker model isn't most effective.
Research demonstrates long hours reduce creativity and productivity while increasing stress. Workers with predictable time off produce better work, report higher satisfaction, and receive superior performance reviews.
Despite women comprising nearly half the workforce and serving as primary breadwinners in 40% of households since the 1970s, the gendered division of labor at home remains stubbornly unchanged. Marriages with shared responsibilities are most satisfying. Couples who equitably divide housework report 50% more sexual intimacy and higher relationship satisfaction. Yet progress has stalled, with fathers' contributions plateauing at around 35% of domestic work. Women's mental bandwidth is contaminated by the exhaustive mental labor of tracking children's schedules, household inventory, and family obligations. This invisible work explains why women across cultures report 20-30% higher levels of chronic stress and are twice as likely to feel their lives are out of control. The author illustrates this through her Thanksgiving experience, when her husband left to help a friend while she managed the entire holiday. Despite equal jobs and salaries, she handled nearly everything domestic, while he helped only when specifically asked. Gay couples offer a model for moving beyond gendered expectations, sharing domestic labor based on preferences and skills rather than predetermined roles. Their direct communication approach suggests that without rigid gender roles, couples can create more balanced partnerships. How can we escape the overwhelm? The author works with coach Terry Monahan to clear mental clutter, starting with her physical desk. She adopts a worry journal, 5 minutes of writing about concerns to free mental energy. A weekly planning routine with a brain dump prevents her mind from trying to remember everything. Tony Schwartz teaches her to work in rhythmic pulses rather than marathon sessions. Humans naturally cycle between 90-minute ultradian cycles of alertness and recovery. Research confirms working without breaks produces inferior results. The author implements Monahan's technique of chunking time into uninterrupted 30-minute blocks, building to 90 minutes, with all distractions eliminated. For difficult tasks, she uses a timer, knowing her brain can handle unpleasant work when relief is coming. At a mindfulness retreat with Tara Brock, she learns that stress physically shrinks the thinking brain, while mindfulness practices expand gray matter in just 8 weeks. The overwhelm never disappears, but mindfulness changes our response, allowing us to observe the swirl without getting swept away. The path out of overwhelm isn't about perfect efficiency or ruthless prioritization. It's about reclaiming our relationship with time itself. When we view time as the medium for experiencing life rather than something to battle against, everything shifts. The author now guides her life by feelings of happiness, meaningful work, and connection rather than impossible ideals. At home, sharing household responsibilities has freed time for play. She's run half marathons and found peace rowing at dawn. With clearer priorities, she's less compelled to do just one more thing. We don't need more productivity hacks, but the courage to challenge cultural expectations that keep us overwhelmed. Imagine measuring success by presence rather than busyness, valuing connection alongside achievement. The solution is recognizing that a well-lived life is measured in moments fully experienced, not completed tasks. What would your life look like if you made space for what truly matters?